Hi, you entrepreneurs. Today we have Harry Sherwood. He is the co-founder, co-owner of Consciously Org. If you feel like you might have a missing piece and that puzzle fully not there, they'll help guide you to figure out where you need to go to next. Take a listen. Please subscribe. Tell your friends.
Welcome to the Road to Growth, Success of an Entrepreneur.
We've raised the bar.
Learn firsthand from successful business owners and create your own path to success.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
It's time to hit the road to growth with real estate agent Vinny SD.
All right, we are here with Harry Sherwood. He is the CEO, founder, or co-founder of The Conscious.
Consciously.
Sorry,
yes,
about that.
Yes.
All right. So, take two.
Yes.
All right. So, tell us a little about Consciously.
Consciously is a holistic health and life business. We help people, whether it's through a one-hour session, three-month-long program, one-year-long program, into anything from meditation, plant-based nutrition, emotional release, lifestyle coaching, spiritual counseling. It's holistic life, and we help people go from where they are to what, you know, what's your next step in life and how can we help you get there.
Okay. And you have a very unique history, you know, with monks and so on and so forth. Tell me a little about it.
Yeah. So a snapshot of the journey is about a little over 10 years ago, I just felt suffocated in life. I just felt like something was missing. And I'm somewhat of an extremist by nature, so I wound up traveling to China and studying Tai Chi and Qigong, which is like martial arts and internal energy movement, with Shaolin monks, and spent 4 months there. And that was about 8 hours of training a day. And it was very physically intense. It wasn't exactly like the spiritual journey I was looking for, because this is how I perceived me leaving, was like, okay, I'm going to go off on my own little quest. So 4 months there, and then I wound up moving back to the States, and I moved into an ashram, which means community dwelling in Sanskrit. But this was a yogic monk's ashram. So I lived with monks and yogis for the next 6 months, and that was, several hours of meditation every day, contemplation, service, really deep conversations, and just getting to know myself without all the noise. Which had a profound impact on me, totally changed my trajectory in life. Before, I was coaching high school football and sports performance, and after, I wound up transferring to the University of Michigan, getting a degree in religious studies with an emphasis in consciousness studies, traveled to Ghana and Indonesia, all of it under, you know, learning more about spirituality, learning more about wisdom teachings, and then went back to the ashram after college, another 5 months, and I wanted to decide whether or not I was going to become a monk, because that was really my only interest in life, was kind of the what they call self-realization, that deeper understanding of self. But I wouldn't be talking to you here today if that had been the reality. So I left and I started teaching meditation not too long after that. And then I met my partner in life, partner in business, Melanie McDaniel, the other founder of Consciously. And she had a completely different background to personal development and self-help than I. She had a really traumatic background. And so she had been in therapies of all sorts and all that stuff. And it led her to alternative approaches as well.
Is that how you guys met? Or how did you guys meet?
No, we met randomly, or not randomly, at an award show. Okay. And she was writing for it. A family member of mine was a part of it. And so we went and just kind of hung out in the lobby and got dinner afterwards and kind of glued at the hip ever since.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a really quick and fast connection. And then, you know, really ever since then, we've been teaching and coaching people into the meditation and nutrition, got back into sports performance coaching. We dabbled in a couple other things for a couple years as well, trying to make some money, and then went all in on this, founded Consciously a couple years ago. And you know, it's been its own journey of ups and downs, lefts and rights, but it's been extremely fulfilling. And you know, just all the people we get to help and the testimonials that come back, it's truly fulfilling work.
So jump back to the beginning. So it was 10 years ago. You just felt there's something else. Something was missing, right?
Yes.
And you didn't know what that was. You just felt like it was something in China, or what was that?
You know, yeah, I just felt like literally, I like to say that it's, I was a puzzle that had a couple pieces missing and I didn't know what they were. But I kind of pointed the finger at Western society. I just kind of felt like it was missing something. So the Eastern perspective really drew me, which is why I went to China, which is why I went to the ashram. But China in particular, my brother's friend had been to a similar place in China and studied Kung Fu. And he's like, dude, you got to go. If you're going to do something like this, go to this type of place, which was powerful. And then the ashram kind of came through, drawn to the Eastern. But I'd been beginning to learn meditation from the same organization about a year before through my brother, who was in AA. And him and my dad found it and were like, Harry, you got to go check this out, because they knew I would like it. They knew that's where I was kind of gravitating towards, and I'm super glad they did.
And so I'm guessing it's like a conscious thing of trying to find more knowledge as you go and keep them growing, right? Like, that wasn't the full puzzle. There's still more to the puzzle that's growing, right?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think knowledge plays a really big and impactful role along the journey. But I always say knowledge without application is worthless. So we really have to integrate what it is we're learning. And that's what that was all about. That's what sitting in countless hours of meditation and silence is all about. It's diving within self and really going down the proverbial rabbit hole that so many people are hear about. And, you know, it's obviously the concept of but it, there actually is a rabbit hole, and yeah, it actually is fascinating to go down. So yeah, I was just called towards that, and it gave me answers to, hey, this is what's missing. Yeah. But once again, it was just a concept until I was able to truly fully integrate that and realize that on my own, which is why they call it self-realization instead of like self-conceptualization. I don't know what the terminology would be, but it was quite the process of doing that.
Nice. And so you gain all this self, like this growth, and you meet your partner. Where did it come to the idea that we want to build a company out of this?
So actually, the second time I saw her, we connected via, very similar kind of philosophies of life the first time. But the second time, she actually came over to my place, and she was like, what I want to do with my life is create a holistic community, and, with all sorts of different fun and awesome things. And I just started laughing at her. And I had to stop myself and be like, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing because I have a very similar vision, and I had actually started to kind of program something out that I put my brother and my cousin through, and it had gone for 3 months. It was kind of a beta test of a larger thing, which still is in the works. We are still, our trajectory is to actually create a brick and mortar community at some point. So we had that, and we connected through that. We had a little bit differing ideas, so over time it started to merge together. But the idea had been incubating in both of us, far before we ever met.
Oh, wow. Okay. And so you get to the point, you have this idea, then what's the next step of actually building a business?
Yeah. So honestly, the idea lasted a lot longer. It stayed conceptual before, anything happened. We had that and we wanted to do it. And I was teaching meditation. I got back into sports performance coaching. So I was kind of doing some of that, but she was still in healing process. So she was still going through some SHIT, like big time.
Yeah.
So we still needed to facilitate some, safe space for that. And then we just didn't know what we were going to do with it, how to really actually turn it into making a living. And so we started dabbling in other things. We got into selling home cleaning units. We got into real estate for about a year and a half. And it was all out of lack. It wasn't out of something we were passionate about or called to. It was like, hey, how can we make quick money?
On Facebook, everywhere is quick money, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's shiny object here, shiny object there. And so we were like, ooh, those look good. And we went chasing after a couple. I kept coaching the entire time along the way. So I did. I kept, 1 foot in one world and 1 foot the other. And we finally, just after a couple of years, Mel had been doing really well with her stuff. She'd started to, really help other people. So she had gotten into more of the coaching and facilitating emotional release. And we were finally like, let's just do this. Yeah. Let's actually go all in. But when we did start to go all in, we started to get lost in the shoulds. We got lost in, this is what you should do if you're going to be a successful entrepreneur.
Yeah.
which was other successful entrepreneurs telling us this.
Yeah.
But quite often nowadays that comes from them selling a course on how to make money.
Yeah.
And so, you know, everyone will teach you how to become a millionaire because this is how they made money. And I'm not saying that, you know, they didn't make money that way, but actually a speaking coach of mine once said, he said, "Harry, people, when you're on stage, what you need to do is, number one, people will believe that you've done whatever you said you've done most of the time. They might even believe that you've been able to do it for someone else, but what they need to believe is that you can do it for them."
Yeah.
And so that was really the, you know, we got lost and, oh, they can do it for us too, but it just didn't work out that way. And we spent a ton of money doing things that other people told us to do. Some of those actually really worked out because, you know, we built out a nice website and some good things came from it. But we wound up losing a lot more money, and I like to call it tuition paid. You know, we just learned what, you know, a way that we weren't going to make our light bulb. And so we really wound up having another sit down after about a year in and a heart to heart and just like, okay, so if we're going to spend all this time and money doing something, we might as well be passionate about it. Just like all the other areas of life, we've gotten in alignment with passion and purpose and connected to, you know, that deeper sense of self that we had both spent so long seeking. And so we said, okay, out of all these shoulds, out of like the however many shoulds that exist, what do we actually care about? What do we actually like? And I love speaking. I love being on podcasts. So this is something that I genuinely enjoy, which is why I had a speaking coach, because it was just something so natural and fun to me. I like writing. So I've been doing a lot of writing, and we did a lot of writing within that. And then in person to person referral business, like being a coach, you have to have the trust of someone. They have to know that you have their back and that you're going to help them through the hard times and you're going to help them figure stuff out. And so it's an in-person connection.
There's a saying that's, no one wants to know what you know until they know you care.
I like that. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And so that's that human to human connection. And we both, you know, love doing that. So we found what worked for us, but it came with a lot of ups and downs.
Well, tell me about some of those pitfalls. What are some of those hiccups, some of those hurdles you had to overcome to get to that to where we're at now?
Yeah. I mean, everything from having, you know, a fair amount of clients during one time and not very many at other times, and bleeding money, going into debt, for, you know, as we're trying to do the shoulds and spending a lot of money with certain people who promise this and that, and then they don't deliver, and then we're kind of left there with no money and saying, okay, well, what do we do now? Having people I think across the board, it came down to, for us, no matter what, if there's a question we actually ask all of our clients that we really had to sit with, was a lot of people know the question, what would you do if you knew you could not fail? It's a really powerful question. Like, hey, if I wasn't going to fail, what would I do? Which is incredibly powerful. But then what we follow that question up with that I think really gets people to think about, like what they're truly passionate about, is what would you do if you knew you were going to fail? Even no matter what, it was going to end in failure, would you do it anyway? And that's what it came down to for us, is like, I would still reach out my hand for helping someone else. And so that's what I do with my life. I'm of service as much as I can. And obviously I want to make a living during it. So that's really, we had to get super in alignment with what we're doing and how we're doing it.
Wow. Those are really two powerful questions. So what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? What would you do if you knew you were going to fail?
Yes. And if those two are the same answer, you're doing something right.
Wow. That's definitely powerful. So have you been able to look at the times where you've had a lot of business and times you've had minimal amount of business and found what that disconnect was?
Yeah, a lot of that was how we were going about getting clients. Okay. And that was a lot of that came during the online marketing time when we were doing that. Since we've gotten into more referral based in-person marketing, it's been more consistent.
Yeah.
But it even goes through peaks and troughs. It's just kind of the nature of the business that we're in. But we understand that now.
Yeah.
And so we're much more comfortable with it. And plus, as we're out there more and more, you know, that reach gets wider and wider and more people hear about us.
So What's, if you could talk to basically your younger self, the one that felt that someone was missing, or maybe someone else looking to get into this kind of, in this kind of field, this health field, what kind of advice would you give those two individuals?
So, you know, we were actually talking about this before, but I don't know if I'd give myself any advice because where I am in life right now is something I'm truly in love with. I genuinely love life, even though I have peaks and troughs, even though it's, you know, it's not all sunshine and rainbows, but that's okay. Cause I know who I am, and I've spent so long coming to alignment with that. So, and that wouldn't have happened. And maybe, you know, I don't know the answer to that honestly, but that may not have happened if I had been given the answer early on. Because I am who I am because of what I've experienced.
Yeah.
Not necessarily in spite of it. So what I might say to myself is just never stop.
Yeah.
You know, never stop. Whatever you do, put your heart and soul into it and keep going. And if that's what you find out that isn't your thing, that's okay. Find your thing, but, you know, keep going once you've found your thing. And I found my thing in spirituality, and it's led to all these things coming from that. Someone else in the health field, I would say, the health field's huge.
Yeah.
The health field's huge. Find what you're truly passionate about within it, because we have a nutrition program. I'm really passionate about plant-based nutrition, helping people find the nutritional part behind, because we come across a lot of people who are vegan but are extremely unhealthy. You can be junk food, anything. So, but I'm more, you know, at first I was more passionate about the nutrition than I was passionate about having the general conversation about how it impacts the, you know, the world. And even though it shifts, make sure you're passionate about it. The truth is, I'm passionate about spirituality, and a part of that is staying physically healthy. So, you know, plant-based nutrition, if I was only teaching that, it wouldn't be enough.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't be enough for me. So find what you actually, truly, genuinely love to do. And that might take time. That might take a lot of trial and error. But once you do that, stick with that, and you can help a ton of people, because we're having an epidemic of a health crisis physically, mentally, spiritually, and we need all the help we can get.
So what's next for your company? So you guys have the mind, body, health, food, everything. What's next for you guys? What's the future?
So we're actually soon going to be opening up a local brick and mortar in Torrance, California.
Oh, wow.
And that's going to be within the next 9 months probably. And we'll be hosting a lot of meditations, a lot of just really, you know, community building activities. That'll probably last 5-10 years. And then the large vision is to create a community to buy a piece of property. And we're starting to look now for the future in Arizona and certain places to then build our own ashram, our own community dwelling there, and have everything from retreats to people can come and live, all sustainable living. We'd be able to host, you know, fun things like ropes courses and, you know, all sorts of different stuff, but just to kind of build our own utopia in a sense. And that's the larger vision. Whether that happens in a decade or 40 years, you know, that's going to be the trajectory that we're heading towards.
That's fantastic. So if someone's, maybe they feel like a piece of them is off and they need someone like yourself or your partner to help them out, how would they get a hold of you guys? How would they find you?
Yeah, we're really easy to get a hold of. Consciously.org is the website. You can go on, kind of take a look at some of our stuff, but that contact us goes directly to us. That 1-800 number is also textable, so if you're someone who likes texting, you can text that and we'll respond to it. But the avenues via our website are the best and easiest way.
Fantastic. Well, second time was the best. Thanks again, Harry Sherwood, and all you entrepreneurs out there. Hopefully you got some good information. Hopefully you're able to ask yourself those two questions. What would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? And what would you do if you knew you were going to fail? Great two questions to have. Please tell your friends, please share, and please subscribe.
Thank you for listening to The Road to Growth, Success of an Entrepreneur. Please like, subscribe, and stay connected. Visit www.vinnysd.com.
Yeah, I created a website.
Hope to see you again next week. Team Vinny SD, signing off.